to thank our young people for leading us in the ministry of music. And it's good to see the sailor with us today. Man, she's going to come at you. Good to see my sailor with us. Powerful story of Shirley Chisholm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just how the women told the story of her. She was a powerful woman. I know what she spoke at my graduation. Oh, she turned the place out. And then, you know, there's that local women or women of connection here we need to read about. And so I brought an article that was in the Central last week about Irene Morgan. And I know you said you don't know Irene Morgan, but everybody remembers Mildred and Roy Washington. Well, Irene Morgan was Roy's cousin. And so when, you know, you read about this woman that got arrested for not moving back on the bus, you know, there's a connection. You even talk about Spotswood Robinson, that great attorney, and I was sharing with Barbara this morning. He was one of my patients. If I need a lawyer today, I would have got somebody like him, because he was so meticulous. He would come in every year. He had better records on the prescriptions I filled for him than I had for my, in the pharmacy. And so just a lot of history. So take the time and read those also. Well, take that text that was read. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to worship and praise you. We thank you for the songs. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for the reading of your holy word. But now comes the preaching moment. So, Lord, it's just me, your servant, oh Lord. You know my ups and you know my downs. And so, Lord, if there's anything in know there's a lot of junk in all of us, just remove what might be a hindrance to your word. Give me that clarity of sight, mind, and speech that I need, because people need to understand this word. They need to be able to apply it in their everyday lives. And then, oh Lord, one more time, and I really call on you this morning, give me the strength, because you've done it before. I'm going to stand on your promises. And know you can do it one more time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Who is this Jesus? You know, this is the second Sunday of Lent, time of preparation. Preparation for that triumphant Palm Sunday. Preparation for the celebration of what we call the Lord's Supper. Preparation for that old rugged cross, and preparation for the empty tomb. Somebody might ask, why do we need to prepare? Well, as I preached last Sunday, Jesus prepared. Prepared for 3 years of ministry. And one of the tests he faced in the wilderness, he resisted the temptation that might have made him come down off of that old rugged cross. But we need to prepare so we can appreciate. Appreciate the stories that we've heard so many times. But because we have just heard them and not let them soak into our innermost being, we fail to realize the supper. The supper is a celebration of a freedom from physical slavery. That supper is a celebration of freedom from sin. And because those facts have not sunk in, the chains have been removed from our bodies, but they have not been removed from our minds. Chains that have us afraid to step up, afraid to speak up, afraid to take the God-given abilities that all of us have been intended to use because God gave them to us. See, prepare for Calvary, where we have removed the pain. Calvary, where we have removed the suffering. Calvary, that we have sanitized in the jewelries that we wear and brass that sits on our altars, when it was the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that paid it all. I know it's sinking in because everybody's quiet. And then the climax, the empty tomb, Resurrection said the sacrifice was acceptable and Jesus was given all power. But what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Is the name Jesus just like any name, or does just hearing the name of Jesus cause something to happen deep down in your soul? And I have to believe that even though the apostles had been following Jesus, even though they had listened as he taught, for in Matthew, Jesus was doing a lot of teaching that we still need to listen to today. And even though they had seen him do things that never seemed done before, heal a man who wasn't even in their presence, free a demon-possessed man, heal the blind, feed 5,000, walk on water, and even after doing all these things, even after Peter declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," after Jesus predicted his death and resurrection, Jesus felt he needed to show three of his disciples a little bit more. And aren't we the same way today? Jesus speaks into our hearts and we say, "Jesus, give me a sign." Jesus sets us up with a good job or heals our bodies. Jesus makes a way out of no way, and things get a little bit rough. We turn our back on Jesus, give up on Jesus. In fact, we give up on self and start having that big pity party when we sing about Jesus, pray to Jesus, thank Jesus. But what does Jesus really mean in your life? So for three disciples, Jesus arranges a meeting, a type of meeting that had never been arranged before. And I have to believe in the good times and in the bad times, Jesus has arranged a special meeting for you, just like he did for me, right on earth. And we refuse to listen. We refuse to accept the invitation. And before I get to the text, before I get to the first point, I've got to testify that as a little boy, Jesus arranged a meeting with me. And I'm so glad I accepted that invitation. See, for a few years later, on what could have been my cooling board, see, virus has been floating around for a long time, taking a whole lot of lives. See, coronavirus is nothing new. It's not a conspiracy or a hope. But when the death angel got ready to call my name, because I had accepted the invitation, I was able to have a little talk with Jesus. And not just then, but time and time again over my life. Accidents, being robbed by the bird people I was trying to help, even foolishness up in what was supposed to be God's time. Yet every time, even though sometimes I got knocked down, but because of the first experience, every time I called on Jesus, it didn't happen suddenly. Sometimes it took a long time, but every time Jesus made my life brand new, and Jesus can do the same thing for you. You just have to listen and accept the invitation when Jesus speaks to your heart. Oh, and because even though as a little boy I had never even read this text, the experience of coming into of Jesus coming into my life and having the good sense to realize who he really was has made a difference, a real difference in my life. As we enter the text, Jesus carries three disciples to a high place. And you know, when we come to worship on Sunday, we might not have to climb a physical mountain. However, we should climb a spiritual mountain to a high place, a place where we can get away from the noise. The noise is everywhere. Even noise from so-called men and women of God. Noise because it helps nobody. Noise because it only makes some people feel good about themselves. If I ever start doing nothing but making noise, and that reminds me, baby, sometimes y'all get to preaching, I listen to it on the thing, I get a little bit too loud. I know when I start off, I'm a little bit low, but you know, I don't want to blow people's ears out. You might want to turn it down, you know. But if all I'm doing is making some noise, I'll say, Pastor, be quiet. Say, a high place. So that you can be with the eagles and not with the chickens. But see, God has something special for all of us. But for too long, too many of us just been plucking along on the ground when God has so much in store for us. And if we could just embrace that, if we could do, so much for us, turn to your neighbor and say, it's not just about us.
It's not about us.
It's about us.
It's about us.
All right. And as our text begins, Jesus takes three of his disciples. Peter, the one who had made the declaration, along with James and John, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. When Jesus has something to show, he doesn't always show it to everybody. See, for all of us, are not on the same point in our Christian journey. And let's just be honest. Some of us are not ready for what God wants to show. But there were 12 disciples. I can understand wanting to leave Judas behind. But Jesus knew the other eight were not ready. Do you see why preparation is necessary? Necessary to receive all that God has for you. See, some of us are still waiting for our breakthrough because we have not prepared. And notice the text says a very high mountain because of the difference. The other nine and anybody else, they were not able to see what they were not supposed to see. See, I hope y'all didn't let that just fly off your head. See, for anything Jesus has in your life, it ain't intended for everybody to see it. Come with me, New Hope Fellowship. Do you think we would be in this place that at the moment we considered or started talking to the real realtor, I started saying, look what God is doing for New Hope Fellowship. We never would have made it, but some folks are so mean, they would have helped somebody else to get our blessing. See, being considered for a job, keep it between you and Jesus. Got a new boo? Only Jesus needs to know, and he already knows. Jesus was getting ready to do something that he had never, that's something that had never been seen before. And in your life, Jesus has something for you, something that has never happened to you before. What was going to happen this time was a one-time occurrence. And even though it, what happened probably won't happen again to anybody else, Jesus has an experience that is just for you. For Peter, James, and John, Jesus was transformed right in front of them. Transformed from a human form into a divine form. Because we know Jesus was both human and divine. The text says, stay sharp. Shone like the sun. Shone because of his glory. And the good news this morning is, let Jesus in your life and your face will shine. The text says even his clothes became like light. Special because when it came to things, Jesus was just as poor or poorer than the people in his time. Probably had worn them clothes for a long time as he walked up and down the dusty roads of Palestine. But just like Jesus was transformed, his clothes were clean, and Jesus can clean you up. Just as Jesus can clean me up. I don't care what others say. I don't care what you think of yourself. Jesus can clean you up only as Jesus can. See, my pastor needs some cleaning up, just like the people we see each and every day. Whatever you need to get rid of your, in your life, let Jesus clean you up. Verse 3 makes the story even more powerful, especially for those of the Jewish faith. That's something we all could forget. That's why this verse doesn't have the power it should have for most Christians. But because Jesus and his disciples, they were Jews. But the text says, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. Oh, see that? Let me say it again. Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. Still ain't got it. I'll try it one more time. Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. See, Moses, the first prophet who spoke to God in a bush that was burned and not consumed. Moses, who told the Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and led them across the sea. Elijah, who some said to be the greatest prophet, who went to heaven in a flaming chariot. Moses and Elijah would have only shown up on that mountain, but God, Moses and Elijah would have only shown up to talk to God. Jesus called those three disciples up the mountain to clear up any doubt they had, but what they saw could only be of God. Therefore, it made Jesus God. They were part of something that was going to make a real change in this thing called life. And if they felt this, and if you know who Jesus is, you should be about change. I should be about change in this thing called life. When it comes to the hungry, we should be about change. When it comes to the homeless, we should be about change. When it comes to those who are being negated, because all of us have been negated for so long, we should be about change. The only thing, though, is when something spectacular happens, we rush to quick conclusions. Isn't that right? Somebody smiled at us and we said, "They love me." Sometimes we get a position on the job, and we think we the boss on day two. You know, at the church I attended in Richmond, ministers were asked to read the response of reading, and they thought that meant they could preach a mini sermon before the pastor did. See, Peter, in his own way, did the same thing. Peter, you know, he always had something to say. So he said, "Lord, it is good that we're here." And yes, it was. Good to be in the presence of the environment and in the presence of two of the greatest prophets. Peter should have just stopped that. But sadly, we don't know when to stop. Made a good impression, and then the next day messed everything up. But Peter goes on to say, "I'll make three sprints. One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." When it was not the time for shrines, Jesus had work to do. And even though Moses and Elijah were revered, nobody had taken the time over thousands of years to build a shrine for them. For the only shrine should have been the temple dedicated to Almighty God. And even when we build a precious building to worship God, are the building shrine for God, or the shrines for ourselves? And too many times, it's the latter. I got the biggest building. I got the newest facility. I got the most number. When it should be about Almighty God. Well, I'm glad that's not the case up here in New Hope Fellowship. And I know God did not like what Peter said. But things started to change. And then the command comes. Listen to the Lord. Listen to Jesus. In a world with a lot of noise, that's hard to do. Let's be honest. Even though we've been coming to church for a long time, Jesus did not have real meaning in some of our lives because we truly don't appreciate his divinity. And too many of us don't take the time to listen. But watch this. Peter talks about building shrines, and God changes things up. I'm glad we serve a God that when we start focusing on the wrong thing, even right here in New Hope Fellowship, God will change things up. But while Peter, he's still talking about what he's going to build, a bright cloud overshadows him. I can see it right now. Peter, James, and John, didn't know where Moses and Elijah were. Probably didn't know where Jesus was. They were probably thinking to themselves, how are we going to get down off of this mountain? Get down without falling the cliff. See, some of you know how it feels, you know. But when y'all go up there to Harrisburg, sometimes it be foggy and you got to go up in that cloud in the mountain and you're trying to figure out when you can't see 5 feet in front of you, how you going to get to where you're going. After this, Moses and Elijah ran. Jesus had been transformed. I know they thought they were on the train to glory. When God the Creator says, this is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him. That had to make a difference in how Peter saw Jesus. The same should have held true for James and John. But more importantly, if we call ourselves Christians, if we've been down in the water to be baptized, just knowing Jesus is divine, knowing that God, the Creator who created you and me, loved Jesus, was pleased with what Jesus was doing, not only should we listen whenever Jesus speaks to us in Scripture, speaks to us as we travel life's heavy road, we should want to worship. We should want to serve the Jesus who has done so much for you and for me. That's what's wrong, see, with the come and see church model. Let the choir sing us up. Let the deacon pray us up. Let the preacher preach us up. And then we go home and talk about what the good time we had. See, Jesus was about engagement, and the church should be about engagement, where every member uses what God has given them to bring a little bit of heaven right here on earth. Do you hear me this morning, church? It's time and over. Just coming up here. How are we going to do? What the choir going to say? Who going to pray? You know what the preacher going to say? It's about engagement, because Jesus engaged people wherever he went. And if that's our motto, that's what we should do. And don't say, I ain't got no talent, that I can't do this, I can't do that. God has put something in everybody. That's why you're up in here right now. It's just that we need to put to use whatever God has given. Listen to Jesus. Jesus has a lot of things he wants us to do inside these four walls. And Jesus has a lot of things that need to be done up and down the roads that surround us. Don't get caught up in judgment because you fail to listen to Jesus. Oh, let that sink in. The Bible says the disciples fell on their faces and all. See, when we hear the name Jesus, when Jesus speaks into our spirits, and he will, he will. Oh, yes, he will. We should be in awe because Jesus thought enough of us not only to die for us, but to speak into our spirits. But when they looked up, there was nobody but Jesus. And I don't care what your situation might be this morning or any other time. Look up, and Jesus is there. And here it is. Jesus came and touched him. Is there anybody in the house this morning who knows about the touch of Jesus? A touch that is like no other touch. A touch that can turn your life around on this side. A touch that can make your life brand new right here on earth. You ain't got to go to the sky in the by and by to get your piece of pie, but you can get it right now, right here on earth. Jesus touched him and told him to get up. And as people this morning, it's time for us to get up. It's time for us to claim what is rightfully ours. Time to deal with our hurts. Time to deal with the pains that have been holding us back so long. Jesus is saying, get up. And as your pastor, I'm saying, get up. Get up from anything. I don't care what it is, whatever it is that's holding you back. And then Jesus speaks to that time. Don't be afraid. I did not realize how much fear had messed us up as a people until I started rereading Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman from Rev. Atkins' hometown. He said, because we've been taught to fear so long. Elders teach to fear. Pass it on to the next generation. And it's been going on for over 150 years. I got to tell the truth and shame the devil. That's why some stuff came down in here. Because there are images in many of our churches that enforce the fear. Because the representative of Jesus we have up there don't look like us. But Jesus looked just like me. In fact, Jesus didn't live old like you, gray. He ain't gray like me. Take them down in the churches. Take them down in your house. And embrace the real Jesus who wants to set all of us free. All the way down, Jesus tells the disciples, don't tell anybody what happened till I'm raised from the dead. Well, Jesus has already died on the cross. And God has already got Jesus up with all power. So it's time for you and it's time for me to tell somebody about the Jesus who made a difference in your life. The Jesus who will carry you to high places. And the Jesus in all of us, I say all of us need to listen to Jesus. Jesus who is divine. And Jesus who is the love son created. The one of whom the creator said, I'm well pleased. Listen. Listen. Listen to Jesus. Let him have real meaning in your life. Oh, go to him in your private closet. Oh, sometimes don't just go outside in the car and get along with Jesus. Walking up and down on the outside and have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your baby crying. He will answer by and by and sometimes right now. Just get that little prayer wheel turning. Have a little fire burning because what? Just a little talk with Jesus. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? If you've been on your sick bed and had a little talk with Jesus and your heart been broken and you had a little talk with Jesus and you've been troubled on the job and have a little talk with Jesus and if you have, did he make it right? Did he do a church? Did he work it? Listen. And have that little talk and everything. I said everything. Everything will be all right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.